The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Now, when Carol's world suddenly unraveled, leaving her single and jobless, she stumbled upon an unexpected opportunity. Leading a ragtag team of countryside conservation volunteers, she's here to tell us about it. Welcome to the show, Carol Donaldson.
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. Yeah, quite excited about this story coming out.
Yeah, so what happened? I mean, what made you decide to do it?
Well, I was in a bit of a pickle at the time, really. I was, I'd been made redundant, my relationship was splitting up, and I was living in this terrible flat with damp all over the walls, and I think this job felt like a bit of a life raft sailing past at the time, and it sounded quite exciting. You know, I was going to be outdoors in the countryside with this group of people doing things like coppicing trees and restoring rivers. And so it sounded brilliant. The problem was I didn't really have the skills to back it up, as the poor volunteers soon found out.
So was it a proper job then? You were getting paid for it?
It was a proper job. I'd worked in wildlife conservation for quite a long time before, but I was doing kind of community work and writing walking guides. And I had run a volunteer group, but we'd just done things like litter picking. And so suddenly I was in this world where I was expected to know about fencing and installing kissing gates. And I mean, I'm quite good at being thrown in at the deep end. It was very much sink or swim. And in some ways, I thrived on that. But the volunteers, thankfully, really all knew a lot more about how to do these practical jobs than I did and were quite tolerant of me. And once we all got to know each other a bit, they were a huge support system to me and really helped me out.
I was going to say they must have been able to help you, I should think.
Yeah, and I think like a couple of months maybe after I started, one of the volunteers who really didn't suffer fools in many ways, she said to me, well, you're not the most practical person that we've ever had leading this group, but at least you do make it fun. And I think hopefully that's a little bit what I brought to it, sort of people skills and you know, getting a sort of team spirit going, which we certainly did after a while.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a compliment.
Yes, I took it as a huge compliment. I think people who don't give praise lightly, when they say something, it means that much more, really. So I thought, oh, well, yeah, she didn't need to say that to me. And she's telling me in some ways that I might not know how to do fencing, but maybe I do know how to get a group of people, you know, working together and having a good time. And that's part of it, I think, with volunteer groups. It's not all about completing the work. It's about people enjoying that experience. They're giving their time for nothing. And, you know, that's what they get out of it, that sense of camaraderie, I hope.
Yeah. Now, it was a proper job, so they gave you an office, but it was a ramshackle porter cabin overrun with mice.
Yeah. Yeah, I think anybody who's worked in wildlife conservation knows there are quite a lot of offices like that office. I mean, it was a place of its own. Yeah, there was water leaking in the roof. There was buckets propped all over the floor. There were three very large dogs who kind of took up almost all the space in the porter cabin. And yeah, it was very cold. You had to wear fingerless gloves and a hat the whole time while you were trying to type during the winter. It was pretty dilapidated, but the thing was, at the time, there wasn't any money coming into wildlife conservation, and so there wasn't many options, really, and it was hard going being in there. It wasn't a fun place to go in and work every day in those kind of conditions, but it was what it was, and there's plenty of porter cabins like that in the world of wildlife conservation. I'm sure they're still out there.
Yeah, I'm sure. And what sort of age group are the volunteers?
That was one of the lovely things about it. It had a really wide range of people. I think our youngest member at the time was 21, and she'd been struggling with depression and had dropped out of university and was looking for a new start in life. And our oldest member at the time was coming up to 80. But, you know, he still had huge amounts to give to that group. And I think that I really tried very hard to keep that mixture of ages in the time that I was running the group, because I felt it was a really healthy thing for people across different age groups to communicate with each other. And both generations gave something to each other. You know, the older people were very good at understanding the younger people's life experiences and giving them support. And the younger people brought a lot of energy to the group. And I think we all cheered them on as they moved on with their lives, you know. And I think the group really helped with that, that mixture of ages and that sense of community that can happen when people work alongside each other with their hands. You know, it was a magical moment for me. It helped me with my life, and it certainly helped a lot of those young people, I think, move forward with their lives as well.
Yeah, there's nothing actually nicer, and I feel better for your frame of mind than being out in nature, is there?
No, it was like I was in a bit of a low spot in my own life at the time, you know, following the breakup of this relationship, and I soon found out that the happiest moment of every week was on that Thursday that I took out that volunteer group. And I, you know, a lot of the week I was probably a bit lonely. You know, I didn't know that many people in the area. And suddenly each Thursday I found myself laughing alongside these people. And, yeah, and I think, you know, working with your hands, being in touch with nature, literally, you know, and, yeah, it was just, yeah, being out among the trees and hearing the woodpeckers and all of that sort of really helped me a lot and helped the other people as well, I think.
Yeah. Do you do it in all weathers, in all seasons?
Yes. I mean, it was a 6:30 alarm call, and sometimes I'd look out of that window and it would be pouring of rain, and nobody wants to go out in that kind of weather. But I'd think about those volunteers waiting for me in that car park each week that I picked them up. And I think they're out in that rain. Come on, get out. And often once you've got all your layers on and you've got like maybe a bonfire going, it could be a lovely thing to be outdoors in that weather. You know, the rain like almost felt like an outside thing, and we were kind of warm on the inside, really. So I kind of liked being out in all weathers and not having an excuse to stay in bed. They were waiting for me, and so I was going to get up and get ready and get out into that rain and meet them.
Yeah, take a flask of something warm.
Yes, Bovril.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, I know this is not your first book. I've been looking at some other books that you've written as well. You're also a journalist. You've got podcasts. You've got field notes. Can you give your website out for our listeners?
Yeah, it's called Carol Donaldson Writer. I've got two websites. I've got a day job still doing wildlife conservation as well. But the one with the field notes and the journalism on is Carol Donaldson Writer.
Great stuff. And the book we are selling right now on our website, tre.radio, our listeners simply need to click on the bookshop banner. It's called The Volunteers, A Memoir of Conservation, Companionship and Community, and it's by Carol Donaldson, who we're speaking to now. Carol, thank you so much for sharing your story on today's Lifestyle Show.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day. Are you out in the wilds today, or are you done for today?
No, not today, though. Tomorrow I'll probably be out surveying the river, so I'll be back out tomorrow.
Oh, well, you enjoy. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.